Well, hello, beloved. Welcome to the Pastor's Podcast for this Sunday morning, November the 8th. And I'm Scott Mitchell. I run a blog over at WordPress, the Pastor's Blog. The address there is pastorscott.org. Of course, you probably already know that. You wouldn't be listening to this podcast without likely having that knowledge. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I'd also love to hear from you. If you have a question or a prayer request or something you'd like to share with me, you can reach me at scott@pastorscott.com. A little confusing, I know. Pastorscott.org is the website address. Pastorscott.com is the email address. Sorry, scott@pastorscott.com. So let me know if something's on your heart. I'd love to hear from you. And keep reading my posts through the week. Hopefully there will be something there that will continue to encourage you. Last week we looked at walking in peace when your life is in pieces. The psalmist described a particular season he was going through in his life, and it was not enjoyable at all. He even described himself as being broken, as in a broken piece of pottery. He said, my life is just here in pieces. But two verses later, he gives this triumphant explosion of faith when he said, "Yet I trust in you, O God." And what a word that was for us last week. And today I'd like to talk about a topic that affects us all. It's how to handle people who are difficult. I'd like to give some help, some strategy today to you, if you have someone in your life or maybe some people in your life who are particularly difficult to manage or handle. And we'll look to some scripture. I want to read to you from chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians right now, and verses 31 and 32. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Six things he brings up here in the text that are not becoming of a child of God, but yet, for whatever reason, they were found in the fellowship. And he addresses each one, bitterness being the first one. And it's like a list that he often gives in Scripture, like the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then everything else behind it is an expression of love. The same thing here. Let all bitterness, and then out of bitterness is the expressions of that being wrath or rage, anger, which is the outright manifestation of an inner raging temperament, clamor, which is like shouting and unrestrained anger that is coming out of a person, slander, it's the Greek word blaspheme. It's libelous speech. It's injurious speech. It's hateful words, particularly and intentionally used to hurt someone deeply that cannot quickly be forgotten. Along with all malice, and that's a Greek word that's just translated all manner of evil. It's devilish behavior. It's evil to the core. It just kind of sums it all up, but it all spawns from bitterness. He said, instead of these six things, do these three things. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. What a good word that is. It's one of my wife's favorite portions of Scripture. She quotes it a lot around our house, not because we necessarily need it, but it is a great reminder. And she's one of my great heroes. She lives that word every day. And it's so neat to see it, those two verses juxtaposed next to each other, because there's like six ugly words, and then there are these three beautiful grace words in response. And there are many churches that all it would take would be one word, one act of repentance, and it could change the whole atmosphere of all manner of evil in that church fellowship, or in your office, or at the warehouse where you work, or in your extended family with all the relatives if you're having trouble with difficult people. So today I just want to leave us with some strategies, some helpful words about that very thing. I had a breakfast meeting with a couple of pastor friends of mine this week. One of them is my father in the faith. The other is also a mentor and equally a teacher in my life. And I asked their input about difficult people. And one of my friends said, well, explain difficult. Are you talking about people who are quirky, who lack social grace? I just pretty much left a whole wide parameter to it, let them put their own definition to what a difficult person means and how to handle it. But when I left the meeting, I started meditating on that idea a little bit further, and I put more thought to the idea of a difficult person, and this is what I came up with. I came up with those who seem to be planted in your life by Satan. They're there to discourage you, to get a rise out of you, to distract you from your mission, to bring you down, not just by discouragement, but literally to humiliate you, to discredit you, to bring you down in the eyes of others. So how do we deal with people who are bent on destroying us, who despise our very existence? When I was thinking along these lines, I realized you don't have to go much further than the gospel to realize that Jesus, in the gospel record, gives us about three and a half years of his public ministry. Each one of the four Gospels, 3.5 years of public ministry, and almost on every page, he's dealing with someone who is bent on destroying him, taking him down, injuring him, threatening him, accosting him, questioning him with an ugly motive, trapping him. And so he had to deal with this himself, and he knew that we would. And when he gave his first public sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he was pretty much telling his followers, this is going to be the part and parcel of your following me. You're going to have to deal with people who are set on edge by you and who are seeking to defame you, discredit you. If you do not have anyone in your life, relationship-wise, who is in opposition to you, then you're probably not doing a great job of living out the mandates of the kingdom. He said the very value system of the kingdom is off-putting to others who walk in a different kingdom, and it threatens theirs. When he mentioned the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the poor in the spirit, and they who mourn, and the hungers and thirsters for righteousness, and those who are merciful, and those who are pure in heart and motive, and the peacemakers. And he wraps it all up by saying, you know, blessed are you when people are injuring you with their words and who are persecuting you, as if, you know, just by living a value system of these things is going to bring out the worst in other people. So, but when I'm talking about difficult people, I'm not just talking about those who don't share your political beliefs or don't match you dot for dot and cross T for cross T on every point of theology. I'm not talking about those who are quirky or a little on the weird side. I'm talking about people who are disturbed by you, that the very thought of you being on this earth, especially in proximity to them, sets them on edge. It irks them. And, you know, it threatens the kingdom that they are walking in. Blessed are you when you make enemies. It's almost like that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 5. Not because of our being tactless or high and mighty and holier than thou and super pious, saying I'm better than you, look at me. But because of the fact that you're walking in a kingdom of righteousness with a set value system that is threatening their own. And they don't like you for it. And they're out to get you for it. During a particularly hard season of my pastorate, when I was balancing and monitoring and managing many different kinds of attacks and betrayals and misunderstandings and accusations, I read a book by Eldridge, John Eldridge, called Waking the Dead. And toward the end of the book, he said, he made a really neat statement, and I'd put some thought to it before I ever read his book, but never had thought of it so succinctly in the terms that he stated. He said, whenever Satan wants to do something to you, he uses people to do it. You know, Satan's not going to come against you all by himself. He's going to use others to incite you to sin and to get you off mission. And that just helped me. It was so freeing, even though it was so basic to hear, it really helped me realize one of the first strategies of handling, not dealing with, but handling difficult people, because we let the Lord deal with them, but we handle. And the first strategy is to recognize the true source that's driving them. You know, Satan is not going to come to you himself. Our war is not against flesh and blood. It's against spirits. It's against demonic powers. Satan is going to raise up people to accomplish what he wants to do to you. And we have to remember that. We have to remember that our war is against the one who incites flesh and blood and bone and sinew to burn us alive with their irrational hatred. In admitting that there's a satanic source behind any and all persecution of this manner, I'm not suggesting that, well, people just can't help the way that they are, because after all, they acquiesced to it. They gave their assent. And in some cases, we've even observed them enjoying the way they handle you or mishandle you. I must admit that there's been times when I myself have been used as a tool of the enemy to make someone else's life miserable. I mean, after all, I'm married. In our early marriage years, I was prone to react to Sandy in a very flesh-driven, carnal way. But fortunately, I have a very forgiving wife, and she prayed for me, and the Lord brought me to my senses. I repented of all that, and today, 31 years later, we have a marriage that I believe is worthy of emulation, and it's filled with happiness. It's a love affair, but that's because I have a great wife who's forgiving and lives out Ephesians 4:32. I would say also, secondly, not only to recognize the true source of what's driving people to be difficult, that being the devil himself, give people grace, but don't give them authority to ruin your day. Yes, give them grace. Be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving of them, but that doesn't mean they can trample all over you and ruin your day and make your life miserable. They only make your life miserable if you allow them to. You have to recognize the source that you're up against, and when you do that, it's easier to avoid a spirit of retaliation against them. The best response is always, always grace. Grace. When you're devastated in your spirit, when you're damaged to the core, that's not the time to go to the person. Don't go out of hurt and woundedness. Let the Lord heal all that mess in you. And then he may release you to be able to go to that person and say, listen, you hurt me. I forgive you. I love you. And it's not because I'm better than you and super pious, but God's dealt with me in some things I needed to learn. And so now I'm coming to you as your brother, your sister, and saying, you know, this is what you've done to me, and I'm okay, but don't do this to anyone else. And then thirdly, remember that difficult people have a story themselves. There's always a backstory going on. One of the greatest pieces of advice I ever received when I entered the ministry was from an older pastor friend who said, Scott, when people come to you, and they will, and they'll be seething, and they'll have all manner of complaint and bitterness, and they just want to just set the record straight with you, and just remember that whatever issue that they bring to you is usually not the real issue. There's something going on underneath, and it may not have anything to do with you. You're just in the line of fire. So don't forget that. And it helps you give people grace when you realize it's probably not you that they're despising in the first place. So, which brings me to the fourth piece of advice as we wrap this up, is after you recognize the source, the true source, and then you give grace to them, but not authority to ruin your life over it, and then you remember, you give space to remember that they have a story too, and it's because that's what's causing them to be so wounded and unhealed, then you, number four, do good to them. Do good to them in hopes of turning the narrative, switching the narrative into a grace story. Oh, that's beautiful. There's always that chance. Now, sometimes they'll never respond to you or return favor in kind. You do pray for them. You do hope in Christ that it comes to that. But there may come a point where you are released by God to shake the dust off your feet. You've done everything you can. Take no more responsibility for them. But in that meantime, you do good with hope in Christ that he will turn it into a grace story. But then lastly, let me make this final point. It's probably the most obvious of all. In your handling of difficult people, if you do not handle it well, you're in danger of becoming a difficult person yourself. Remember those six things that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus? The bitterness, the rage, the expressions of anger, the shouting, the libelous, injurious speech, the devilish behaviors. Those were written to believers who obviously had difficult people in their lives, and they weren't treating them with kindness and forgiveness and compassion. And they were turning into the very people that they were being hurt by. So remember, let God heal you. Turn it over to him and respond with kindness and compassion and love and forgiveness and grace and mercy. And you might just win a brother or a sister because of the resurrection power of Christ. Thanks for listening. I look forward to talking to you again next week, Lord willing, on another Pastor's Podcast. Again, go to my website this week, pastorscott.org. Read the posts. Hopefully they'll be an encouragement to you. And email me if you wish to share anything at all that's on your heart with me, scott@pastorscott.org. I'm so glad you stopped by today. God bless you. Bless your week in Christ. Amen.